You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and we have got a great episode for you this week. We've got some new trailers that have come out, some toy news, some casting, some pilots, and a very good episode of Agent Carter to talk about. So without further ado, how are you doing this evening, Mr. John Raven?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's Valentine's Day, and I'm on my own here, but...
But you're with
I'm
me.
I'm cool with that.
See? It's okay.
It's the romantic date I always wanted.
Yes, yes. from two states away.
Yeah.
Indeed.
One? Only one?
Well, true.
Unless you're somewhere
else. No. I'm in Georgia. That's right. I was thinking North Carolina for a second. But although technically... Oh. North Carolina is contiguous as well with Georgia, but yeah, I mean that's always
kind of town a little bit.
That's always entertaining for me though to know that we've got listeners like the majority of our listeners. Hello, all of you out there in California. I wonder how you found us. I wonder how you got to us. But we're very happy to have you and everybody everywhere too. All right, so we were just talking a little bit before we went on air about both having seen Deadpool this weekend.
Yes, and it was everything that I could have hoped for.
Indeed.
Ryan Reynolds has actually redeemed himself for Green Lantern.
He has, and he even actively references that in the movie, which I thought was pretty awesome.
It's pretty great that he does tend to reference some of his bigger flops. Uh-huh. That and of course the X-Men Origins Wolverine
right.
gets quite a few jabs
uh-huh,
at it,
uh-huh.
And I love the moment, you know, and y'all can close your ears if you haven't seen it yet, where he actually busts on his own acting skills.
Yes, and makes fun of his reputation for being the sexiest man alive or something like that as well.
Yeah, he knows he didn't get where he is based off his acting abilities.
That's it, yes.
Although his acting abilities were pretty awesome in this.
Absolutely. And yeah, I had heard absolutely rave reviews from everybody going into it, and so I mm-hmm. actually had very high expectations, but it was great. It was really there was so much Easter egg stuff going mm-hmm. on, whether it's references to other Marvel comic stuff, other movies, to real life. He like name checks Patrick Stewart.
and he's getting dragged away by Colossus, and it's like, we're taking you to the professor. Which one, McAvoy or
right.
Stewart?
He's like, I can't even tell which timeline I'm in. So yeah, there was a lot of that, and I'm thrilled to see how well it's doing. The numbers it's getting are way
yes.
way beyond what anybody had expected or hoped for.
Somebody did an infographic of a bunch of other superhero movies, like the mm-hmm. first ones for those characters, whether it was not Winter Soldier, but first Captain America, first Avenger,
yeah,
Iron
Hulk.
Man, Batman
mm-hmm.
Begins. Yeah, and it did double the business of any of them.
It didn't pass Spidey. I know Spider-Man 1 was above it.
I don't know. I don't think Spider-Man was above it, but Spider-Man was close.
Because
they were saying that Spider-Man, I think, was 112 mm-hmm. million, and Deadpool was 133.
Okay. Well, yeah. And, I mean, There are a bunch, as I was mentioning online, there are a bunch of sort of yeah buts with that in terms of inflation and in terms of are you counting it as a 2-day weekend mm-hmm. or a 3-day weekend and so on and so forth.
Right.
But either way, it's definitely impressive. I hope that we will be seeing much more of him. And judging by these numbers, it sounds like we probably will.
Yeah, and I certainly hope they take notice, because this was probably about as close to the comic book as you can get for a superhero mm-hmm. movie, and look how
exactly.
well it did.
And the fact that, and that's another thing to bear in mind with those numbers of first outings of different characters. Mm-hmm. This was R-rated, and you know,
yes.
and from everybody that I've talked to, people have remarked on it when they did see people, you know, did see kids there, and it sounds like. Mm-hmm. While I would agree, I'm not a parent, but I would agree that this was not a kids' movie, it sounds like at most there were like 3 or 4 kids in each theater. So the fact that it is taking yeah. in those kinds of numbers and you have cut out the under 18 market, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's been explained that Deadpool is not your traditional superhero movie. And it did everything that your traditional superhero movie could not
right,
do.
Right. It including a naked fight scene.
Yes.
Yeah, that was.
So, ladies are looking forward to seeing Ryan Reynolds naked. You get your wish, and it's both good
indeed,
and bad.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, and yeah, there's. I mean, we could do a whole episode on this, but yeah, I was very pleased. I was also happy that I happened to be going to Cinebistro, which is one of those, you know, places where you can order food, and they had poutine on
yeah.
the menu. So in honor of Deadpool's Canadian origins, I had to get myself some poutine. So.
See, I just went and I had chimichangas before I went and saw the movie.
If they had chimichangas on the menu, I would have done that. But failing that, I was like, oh, I could get a dessert. I'm not really... Oh, I could get poutine. So, yeah, that'd be great.
I'm sure Ryan Reynolds thanks
you. Indeed, indeed. Alrighty, so we do have other news going on as well. We've got... one thing we've been talking about, the ratings and the possibility of whether or not we're going to get a season 3 of Agent Carter, just had something mm-hmm. happen that does not look so good for that.
Yeah, Haley Atwell got herself cast as the lead character in a new pilot mm-hmm. called Conviction. It's also going to be done for ABC, mm-hmm. I believe. She plays press for it goes the ne'er-do-well daughter of a former president who gets blackmailed into this conviction task force, which is set about trying to investigate and making sure that the people who got convicted for a crime are the ones who mm-hmm. deserve to be going
yep.
to jail.
So that sounds like definitely has potential. There's also mm-hmm. The showrunners for Carter, Tara Butters and Michelle Fazekas. Is that how you say that? I think so. They have a new pilot that they're working on as well. So mm-hmm. while I would obviously love to see a third season, it's not looking so great. But
and that's really part of Hollywood, is that you're always working on something, even when
right,
you're not working
right.
on something. And you know, whether you're a writer mm-hmm. or an actor, you've got to keep working, or else you know you're not going to have much
right,
of a career.
Right.
And, I mean, another thing to keep in mind on both of these pilots is that just because you're shooting a pilot doesn't mean it's
right.
going to get picked up.
I think you made the comparison of, what was it, Rex is Not Your Lawyer? The one that a lot of
yes.
people thought was going to get picked up that had David Tennant in it. And that went absolutely
yes.
nowhere.
And David Tennant's unfortunate American
yes.
accent.
Yes, indeed. And I mean, there've been, I mean, like this time last year, we were saying, oh, it's a done deal that Mockingbird and Hunter are getting their own show. And of course it sounds like it's now going to happen, but it's a year later than what was expected.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that's certainly been delayed because it was supposed to start production, I think, after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wrapped
right.
for last season. And they're like, well, mm-hmm. no, maybe not.
Exactly. But it's a shame because I think that it's getting better critical reception than it ever has this year. We're seeing lots and lots
mm-hmm.
of articles about, you know, sort of this is the funniest show that you're not watching kind of thing.
Right. But it's the not watching part exactly. that's a big deal for the exactly. networks. And even something like Agent Carter, even something that has the Marvel brand, can only go for so long without its ratings, you know, really picking
right.
up.
And there's the argument that I often make about, you know, even if it's not making money, as long as it's not losing money, it's an hour-long commercial for Disney's other properties. So there's that. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if we end up picking up Marvel's Most Wanted as a mid-season thing, then we don't need Agent Carter to fill that gap. So we'll right. have to see how it goes. But if we don't get another season, I'm just thrilled that we've gotten as much as we had. And this season has been a lot of fun. We've got a double episode coming up next week, which will be fun. And then I think, is it just one more week after that or 2 weeks?
Well, I believe we've got 10 episodes, same
okay.
as last
okay.
season.
So we still got a bit, but, yeah, mm-hmm. so there's that happening. And let's see what else. We had of course, the Super Bowl was last weekend. We had a couple of good commercials come out.
Yeah, and I got to say, while I like seeing more footage in the mm-hmm. Civil War trailer, I felt a little bit underwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit less than a minute. Didn't really show us much more than we'd seen before, but it was that great payoff at the end where we saw both the teams lined up
which
against
was
each
cool,
other.
Which was very cool. Had they shown Rhodey looking like he was probably dead in the other ones?
We've seen that a couple okay. times, and I think they're trying to sell it that this is, you know, dangerous and somebody's
right.
going to get hurt, and you know it's only fueled the rumors that somebody's going to die in this. But I don't think anybody is dying in this one because it's the Russos. It's not
Joss Whedon, right? Yes, and there are, of course, there are certainly rumors going around that there have been three separate endings that have been filmed, depending on
right.
Either different characters dying or different characters making different choices or whatnot. But who knows?
Right. But nobody's really confirmed that.
That's very
right.
true. And furthermore, you know, we were. They did a brilliant job of faking us out with Quicksilver on the last one, so I think that it's premature mm-hmm. to make any guesses about what's going to happen with that. But
right.
yeah, it was good. It didn't blow me away, but it was still good. The Ant-Man mm-hmm. one was a lot of fun though.
That was great. And unfortunately, I mean, we get Paul mm-hmm. Rudd's voice. We don't really get to see him as much, obviously, because. Ant-Man's CGI'd and
right.
so is the Hulk, and we kind of get a shadow, but we don't really get
right.
Mark Ruffalo.
Exactly. But it is a very fun commercial, and I enjoyed that one much
mm-hmm.
more than the Civil War one, because like you said, there wasn't really
yeah.
that much that was different. You know, it's just kind of more of the same, but at this point, it's not like there's anyone that's on the fence. It's sort of like with Age of Ultron. It's like, If you're going to go see it, you're going to go see it, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, it's worth seeing how the two of them kind of match up against
right,
each other.
Right, but at this point, there's so much footage out there that we'll have to see how it goes. But I think, I don't know if we're going to get more trailers. It sounds
mm-hmm.
like that's the last one that we're going to get before the actual movie comes out. But
yeah, I mean, we've only got, you know, 2.5 months at this
true,
rate.
True. But let's see what else we got going on. There was an interview that was posted up with some of the cast and crew from Daredevil talking about Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that's going to be very, very cool.
It's going to be something to look forward to. And they say that, you know, the Punisher gets Matt to kind of question, you know, whether how much different he actually is from Punisher. And if you saw, they released a,
mm-hmm.
a teaser trailer for the trailer for the new season where you get Jon Bernthal saying, "You're one bad day away from being
right,
me."
Right, exactly. And I think that's one of the things that has been really fun about Daredevil is that, you know, even more so than a lot of other properties, they in the first season even, they set up the comparison between between Daredevil and Kingpin, because ultimately they were both trying to save their city. You know, they both had this very, very strong attachment to place and thought that what they were doing was going to be good in the long run. And so in this case, we've got a comparison of two people that are even more similar, because, you know, with Kingpin, obviously he was doing what he was doing with money and power as opposed to beating people up. But with Punisher, it's pretty much the same kind of thing.
Yeah, Punisher's going to cap you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and we had some toy news. This was actually out last week, but we didn't get to it. You want to tell us about the super cool helicarrier?
These guys built, I think they're in the Philippines, they built a helicarrier. I want to say it's about 1500 bricks.
Wow.
4 feet long. I mean, it's a beast, and it's massive. I mean, just incredible. And it's worth looking at. I like my little one that I got that was a Ultimate Collector Series, so I'm not about to trade up anytime soon, especially since I don't have anything room for that massive.
Well, and I mean, with something like that, that's got to be, they've got to be doing a lot of custom bricks and things like that,
oh,
right?
Well, I mean, you just got to get creative with what you got.
Huh, okay.
And a lot of these guys who are, you know, kind of amateur master builders, you know, find ways to be creative with the tools that are out there from Lego. You know, not a lot of them make their own unique pieces to fit a mold or to.
They're not like 3D printing their own
right.
custom stuff.
At least, as far as I know, nobody is yet. Another interesting thing we had that happened this weekend was the New York Toy Fair was going on.
Okay.
We got some images from Funko Pop of some new stuff that's coming out for Captain America Civil War. Mm-hmm. So we got to see stuff like the Black Panther's Funko Pop and action figures for him, an action figure of Wanda that's going to be from based on her look in Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Action figures for Steve and for Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like really Steven big.
Like Tony out of the suit?
Oh, no. In the suit, totally. So he's still Iron Man, still Captain America.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think we've had a civilian clothes one of either of those guys.
There is a civilian one of Tony Stark.
Oh,
but
there is?
It's
okay.
It's one of those collector's models. It's like 200, 300 bucks.
Okay, that's why I don't have it.
Yeah, and it's based on him from Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually like comes with the little fake Captain America shield that he had Phil Coulson put under the
right.
particle accelerator to keep it steady.
That's awesome.
But that's really been it mainly. And, you know, we saw some Legos, but it was the sets that are coming out for Captain America Civil War and nothing particularly spectacular, groundbreaking, except for the fact that whereas in the promotional images we have Giant Man, they didn't have Giant Man out with the set.
Okay.
Which is probably kind of a Marvel called up Lego. It's like, hey, you can't show that anymore.
Oops. You know, that's one of those things where once the cat is out of the bag, it's like, I remember there was some trailer that leaked ahead of time, and and rather than, you know, trying to do damage control, they just said, damn it, Hydra.
Yeah, that was the one that was supposed to premiere with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so lots of cool stuff coming out. We haven't really had anything for casting news lately, which is kind of rare. But we're waiting on an announcement for Guardians of the Galaxy. I know James Gunn has said that he's going to be posting something with the full cast list, and there have been, of course, lots and lots of rumors, but as of the time that we're recording, we do not have anything confirmed yet.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to, and I hope we get the final casting of who Star-Lord's dad is, and we've been told, obviously, that Thanos is not going to be in this, so
right.
It'll be interesting to see if that... or it'll be interesting to see if Star Lord's dad is the principal villain or if it's going to be Nebula or someone else entirely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly. Well, we shall see, and I know they have said that there's going to be a much larger part for Nebula in this one, so that makes me happy, because I think Karen Gillan is pretty awesome.
And we still got one more Infinity Gem to locate and reveal.
Yep.
I mean, considering that we pretty much know at this point that the Orb of Agamotto is going to be one in Doctor Strange.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right, cool. Well, then, I guess that will wrap us up for news this week. We will go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking about this week's episode of Agent Carter, The Atomic Job.
For years, Dr. Geek has toiled in obscurity, trying to realize the future through the science of applied geekdom. Pressured to prove his theories or lose funding, Dr. Geek has now opened the doors of his amazing laboratory to public participation and public collaboration. With the help of his partner, Mr. Flask, a test subject known as Mr. Creature, and a computer called the Deus Ex Machine, Dr. Geek conducts an investigation into the world of tomorrow, creating the future by discussing it.
Do you want me to turn down the oxygen in the labyrinth?
Oh boy, the things I get to do for science!
That's not a good sound.
And why is this sticky?
Join the discussion at www.drgeeklab.com.
Do you have a taste for terror?
Or do you prefer more of the macabre?
If you love scary movies, then you'll love the Vitamin Geek House of Horrors.
Each week, we pick a different horror film to review and discuss.
We even do trivia for every movie we cover.
So if you like things that go bump in the night,
then check us out on the Vitamin Geek House of Horrors podcast.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe. And now we're going to talk about this week's episode, The Atomic Job, which made me think that I was seeing an episode of Leverage when I first saw that written down on the schedule. But yeah, this was a really cool episode. We had It was a lot of just really great character moments, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
We did have plot advancement, obviously, but and we had a
we had a
big showdown that we've been waiting for. So plot line wise, of course, we had the whole thing with Sousa and his fiance, or maybe not, Violet. That was very sad.
Yeah,
because they were so super cute together, and the whole, you know, awkward him losing the ring and everything, that was just so adorable and so romantic, and I was so happy for them, and I was like, yay, he's gonna be happy and not angsty. And
but she caught on to the same thing that everybody else is able to pick up on now.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, as much as we think that it's ridiculous that the people involved in a thing like that don't see it, I totally had something like that happen with me when I was significantly younger than I am now, where there was I actually attended a friend's wedding, and when they said the speak now or forever hold their peace, the entire front two rows turned around and looked at me like I was going to say something. It was like, no, I'm not. And of course they were...
No, I mean, that doesn't have any legal effect anyway.
Of course not. It's just rude. But
but
they were divorced 3 months later. So anyway. I obviously want for Sousa to be happy, but, you know, this is... I was actually hoping that it would work out rather than him continue to carry a torch for Peggy. But
right, and I mean, the actress who plays Violet is extremely cute at that.
And the thing is, that character is really cool.
And she plays her
yes,
so well.
And she's very mm-hmm. competent. I mean, this is not yeah. just, you know, dumb girlfriend. You know, she saved right. Peggy's life in this one.
Yeah, I mean, and within 2 minutes of, we can't do this right now, she's dying,
right.
help. It was like, okay, give me this,
right.
give me this, give me this.
Exactly. So she's super competent, but
right.
I don't think there's any going back from what we had happened this week, unfortunately. So.
No, I think that's pretty much it for Sue's relationship with Violet.
Yep, which is too bad. But anywho, we had a couple new additions to the team, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Both of whom we'd seen before, but we had Rose and Dr. Samberly join up the team this week.
Yeah, and we finally got to see really what Rose is capable of. And, you know, when Seuss is kind of wondering, like, Rose, she's never been a field agent, and then she promptly tosses that one-man band out on the street
right.
on her own.
Right.
He's like, okay, maybe she can take care of herself.
And I thought the scene with Dr. Samberly was funny, but also having just been through job interview processes,
yeah.
the whole thing, it's like, well, what, didn't you hire me to do this? Oh, did I? It's like, well, that's what you told me when you hired me.
And we've all been through the jobs where we were told one thing at the
right.
offset, and we got into the job, and it was something completely different and disappointing.
Exactly. So props to Sousa for you know, for recognizing talent in the first place. But then when it's pointed out to him, he's like, okay, yeah, I'll let you come. And he ended up being great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he took a little prodding
mm-hmm.
here and there, and was a little bit distracted by Rose, but ultimately he came through. And I love the bit in the lab with him, and I think it was Agent Ryan, where like, oh yeah, we tested this memory wiper machine on him several times. Like, no, you didn't. Bam! Walks right into
right.
the wall.
They're really doing a great job on the comedy aspect of things this season. It's, you know, it's goofy and it's screwball, but it's not like anything else that we've got on TV
yeah.
right now, which is one of the reasons why I'll be so sad if it goes away. But
yeah, and the laboratory scenes just really remind me of like the lab scenes you would see in a James
right,
Bond movie,
right, totally,
where all the crazy stuff is going on
mm-hmm,
in the background.
Mm-hmm. And as speaking of that memory wiping thing, that
yeah.
that whole scene with
oh, hello, darling, what's
exactly
your name?
Exactly, over and over, all the
agents.
Exactly, and I mean it's. It's funny,
yeah.
but at the same time, especially after seeing, like, that guy walk into the wall, it's like, oh my god, have you just taken one of the, like, head guys in Hydra and made him, like, completely brain dead?
I mean, I actually kind of felt a little bit bad for him. It's like, we're gonna be the unforeseen consequences of him getting his memory wiped this
exactly.
often.
Exactly, and she was just, at the end, she was just doing it just 'cause, you know?
Yeah, it's like, oh, let me get you one more time before I go.
Exactly. So,
I do love like how that ended, where she had to tussle through his clothes, and when he comes to, he walks out of the office and like, oh, did you have a good lunch? Well,
yeah,
I must have.
He looks down and his belt's undone and everything. He's like, whoa. But and speaking of Roxxon, I actually this afternoon
yeah.
I was rewatching. Some of the Marvel movies on TV, and they had Iron Man 3,
yeah.
and I did not realize there was a Roxxon reference in there. I totally missed that.
There is. There's one in the first movie as well. You can see like a Roxxon oil billboard
right,
advertisement.
Right, just sort of in the background. But yeah, this is something where it has to do with when the president is getting, you know, about to get tortured,
right.
and they mention the fact that it's a Roxxon oil facility. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And, I mean, Roxxon is pretty evil in the comics. They're usually behind any number of
mm-hmm.
villains, either supplying them directly or creating them, half the time usually to go up against Tony Stark.
Right, right. So it's nice. It just any time I see little bits of connective tissue between the movies, it just makes me happy. But so anyway, so yeah, so we've got we had some good comedy there
mm-hmm.
with getting the key and everything. What else do we have going on? We had with a little bit more with Dr. Wilkes. We had some advancement on along those lines.
Yeah, and the fact that both he and Whitney can sense the dark force or the zero matter that's within the dead woman's body.
Exactly, and they're feeling drawn to it. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm wondering, they could both sense her. Can they sense each other?
I don't know. They don't seem to be able to do that yet, although, you know, elements of dark force seem to be drawn towards one another. We saw that when the little bit that was in the jar, joined up in Wilkes and made him solid again for at least temporarily until the end when he disappeared again.
Right. And presumably Howard is, I know that they've said he's going to be back for, I think, the season finale. So hopefully we'll see something, where was he going? Was it Chile or Argentina or something?
I think it was Argentina.
So hopefully he'll come back with some wisdom out of that. And of course we had the great scene at the warehouse facility. So we had both the great thing of talking Jarvis through.
It's like a souffle. No, I really don't think it is.
Man, that actor is just he just has brilliant comic timing. So that was a great scene.
Oh yes.
And bravo to Jarvis for doing that. But the fight scene was good and unexpected, I have to say. I did not expect to see Peggy impaled on a 4-foot piece of rebar, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, miraculously misses major organs and causes, or arteries that would cause her to bleed out within minutes.
So that was...
And we've seen for the previews for next week's episode, she's up and about, even if she's not mission capable.
Right, exactly. So, I wondered if there was some reason, if if she was going to be sidelined next episode for them doing that or something. But I guess it's, you know, an excuse to get Violet involved. But at the same time, man.
Well, yeah. Next week, of course, we see it's an excuse to get Dottie involved.
Exactly. And that's definitely going to be fun. But yeah, so there's that. And it was looking like, I mean, there was a moment where I wondered if it was going to have to be like a Coulson chopping off his hand moment when Whitney started, you know, getting the dark force mojo into her there.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll still need to see how that affects her. So far, it doesn't seem to be at all. But
that's something where
she's the first person to kind of survive that.
I mean, usually it's just a matter of seconds. If Whitney is angry, and clearly she was there, and it just takes her a couple of seconds to you know, completely disintegrate somebody. So that was definitely a close call. But one good thing, or at least one change to come out of this, is that Whitney's husband is no longer so excited about this.
Oh, no. In fact, you know, he's got the, what's their group? The arena club basically is going to talk to them saying, hey, she's getting out of control here. And she might thwart our own
plans. So we'll have to see, obviously, how that goes. But it'll be interesting to see, because Whitney's very powerful at this point. And while I completely understand her husband being afraid, I don't know that... I would more expect for the arena club to go, let's find a way to turn this to our advantage, than say, let's shut this down.
They might. It might be either one, because if it's really going to threaten their plans, they're going to be like, hold up. No, we can't let you do that. Our plans are more important than what we could get from you.
We'll see. I think that, and fortunately, we've got two episodes coming up next week, one of which looks... We haven't seen a lot from Monsters, which is going to be the second one, but we have seen a bit from Life of the Party, and that looks so cool.
I know, and I love Dottie's dress to begin with, because it is so full of Black Widow references.
Exactly, yes, oh my god.
The red and black color pattern, the kind of the diamond brooch in the center that looks like a spider. She even almost kind of reminds me of Black Widow's first appearances in the comics when she did have dark hair, and she had the kind of the hat with the veil.
Yeah, and that it just, you know, any kind of 40s dancing and, you know, glamour, Hollywood glamour and everything, I think that everyone who cosplays is going to be in seventh heaven next week, because there's a lot of very pretty stuff being worn.
Definitely.
Excellent. All right, so I guess it's time for us to do a rating for this week's episode. So on a scale of 1 to 5 pink monstrosities, Bernard Starks, how would you rate this one, John?
I'm going to give it 4 pink monstrosities. I really liked the character development we saw in it. I love the action we saw. I love the oh my god moment of Peggy falling on the rebar. And, you know, the emotional tug of Sousa and Violet's relationship ending. I think this one really did a great job.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you on this one. I think that we had a good balance of sort of a mini heist kind of thing, you know, it didn't take up the whole episode, but it was good and it did what it needed to do. We had and one of the things that I think this showed is how much, yeah, it's called Agent Carter, but this is an ensemble cast. You know, we really got to have everybody getting to have their moment to be cool, and that includes you know, the regulars plus Rose plus Violet plus Dr. Samberly. Yep.
Dr. Samberly.
Second.
And our aborted power walk there of everybody going slow-mo and then Jarvis going, oh wait, I left the car in the back.
And people tripping, and it was awesome though. So I think I will also go with a 4. You know, there was I'm trying to turn to Psy 4 or 4.5, but I'll stick with 4. But it was really a great balance, I thought, between letting everybody have something cool to do, getting plot advancement, having some good fight scenes, and I'm super psyched for next week's episodes. All right. So, anything else to say about this episode?
No, I think it was pretty great. One other thing that I liked that was a nice Easter egg was, Joseph Manfredi, the gangster we see in this. He was a member of the Maggia, which is kind of the criminal organization. Like it's like the gangsters in the comics universe.
Yeah, he was pretty pretty badass as well. So that was cool.
Yeah, you know, if he's gonna show them how serious he is, it's like, hey, here, come over here. Let me entrap you with this question, then beat the crap out of you in a restaurant full of people who could be, you know, who could theoretically testify, but ain't gonna.
Right, exactly. So that definitely shows you the level of scum that Whitney is comfortable working with. But yeah, that was great.
And it's that was truth in television for back then, with, you know, movie stars hanging out with gangsters. It was, you know, they were. Like, the gangsters were just as much celebrities as anyone else in Hollywood back in the day.
And, you know, obviously there's lots of stuff about Frank Sinatra and, you know, all the Rat Pack being involved with the mafia and stuff. So yeah, it's a cool period detail. And they've done a really great job this year of working in little things like that, like the references to McCarthy when they were framing Wilkes for being a communist and things like that. So lots of great period detail and lots of just fun stuff going on.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, for those of you who DVR such things, remember we do have a double episode of Agent Carter coming on for next week. And so plan accordingly for that. We'll be covering both episodes in our podcast for next week. And so until then, we will see you then.
A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy. And if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, and let it all sink in a bit.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.